5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the World Cup of Tea. Day 25. At least I think it is. We are so far into this thing. I will confess, every time I go in to our internet interface and put together the episode, you have to title everything. I keep getting confused. This is day 25. And I know it's day 25 because we're actually only a couple of days away from the final. Today, our first semi-final. And Croatia have booked their place in the third and fourth place game. I say that, you can tell I'm taking the mickey. I'm not a fan of the third and fourth place game. And if I get some time in the next couple of days, I will expound upon why I'm not a fan of the third and fourth place game. As it was, Argentina through to the final. They won 3-0. Into the final of the 2022 World Cup. Kind of fitting. I'm sitting up here in our satellite studios by the river. Everyone knows that the Atlantic Voice normally comes from the New Basement Studios by the lake. But when I'm not able to make it over there, I have a attic studio by the river. Anyway, it is freezing. Being in the Northern Hemisphere and having a World Cup at this time of year. I drive here to the studio. There are Christmas lights. Christmas decorations are up. And today it was freezing. I'm sitting here with a woolly hat on. That's how cold I am. Now maybe, I know the seasons are reversed in the Southern Hemisphere. I don't get a sense that when the World Cup's in the summer, that it's this cold back home in Argentina. Maybe I'm wrong. If you're an Argentinian listener, please email me. Correct me. But anyway, for us Northern Hemispherers, it's cold. And it does feel slightly odd. And this run-up to the World Cup final, it's already odd. It does feel odd when your team is eliminated. Most of the teams have now gone. But it's even odder because it's cold and it's Christmas time and it just don't all feel right. Anyway, Argentina through to the final. We'll talk about that after today's feature. So I bought a new TV for my office. That sentence there's so much going on in that one sentence. I do promise I will return to explain every single part of that. So, because obviously, as you know, the World Cup doesn't take place in prime time. There'll be a game in prime time wherever you live around the world. But in general, most of this thing takes place at what can only be termed as inhospitable hours for people that have, well, lives. I mean, you know, if you've got a job or a family. Again, the only people who are able to have the World Cup come over the horizon and go, yep, I'm at its mercy, are the unemployed, students, or people who are just, you know, clinically insane. So anyway, I went to my local wholesale distributor. Is that what you call the big box stores? Sort of like a, you know, the membership stores, like a Price Club. I went to my local Price Club and wandered in to the television section. And longtime listeners of the pod will know that my partner and I have very different attitudes to these sort of purchases. Eric will research these things to death. Magazines, websites, which one has this, which one has that, and then he'll figure out where you can get it the cheapest. Me, on the other hand, I just wander in and I'm taking my chances. Not because I don't want to save money, but because I just start getting stressed out. And I get stressed out because this technology has run so far ahead of my own comprehension, I have no idea what's going on. I'm in the store and I'm looking at the TVs and the little tags that explain what they are. And I can see, you know, if you go to a Price Club, the boxes are there because you're just going to grab it off the shelf and take it up front. I'm looking at everything on these TVs. Internet ready. YouTube, Netflix, all right there. Smart TV. Smart TV. I don't know what that means other than it's smarter than me. I'm the one whose operating system needs an upgrade. The TV, it has like 9 times the mental capacity that I do. And TVs, I know you've heard this expression before. When you buy a new car, the minute you drive it off the lot, its value depreciates by like 40%. I am convinced with TVs, convinced that they depreciate while you're in the line at the checkout. Some of these things are so cheap. They're so cheap. My mind boggles how inexpensive they were. A 30-inch TV cost me just over $120. The reason I know they're smart TVs is I'm sure that inside they're laughing at me for paying over the odds for that same product like 3 years ago. I saw like 55-inch TVs for some like unbelievably cheap price. And I can imagine the smart TV is laughing at me going, you paid how much for a TV my size 5 years ago? What were you thinking? So anyway, you get in the line and you realize, wow, while I'm standing in the line, the next dude walking into the store, he's probably about to pay like $5 less than I'm paying in the line. That's how quickly the price of these things seem to be plummeting. So anyway, I bought a new TV, took it back to my office, put it up on a shelf in the office and started hooking it up. Now, this is where I should stop for a moment and explain. You're probably sitting there thinking, what kind of job do you have? What kind of job do you have that you can put a TV in your office and actually get away with having it there? Well, because I'm what's called, I'm of indeterminate middle age and I am now middle management. Isn't that where most of us in the workforce kind of end up, in that very generic part of the workforce, the job sector called middle management? I am middle management. And what that means is I'm able to multitask. That's what a middle manager can do. He or she can multitask. That's what's elevated them up to the role of middle management. So that means I can do my job and have the TV on. I can multitask. I can be checking in on the game, plus talking to someone on the phone, plus looking up the price of figs on my computer. I can do all those things at one time. That is the skill, the innate skill of middle management. Upper management, they cannot multitask. Upper management and ownership, they have ascended to a level where they just give their tasks to the people below them. And then they sit back and say, let me know how it's going. And if it's not going well, I'm going to replace you with another middle manager. So upper management don't have any tasks. They just bung their tasks off of middle management. Also, that makes middle management slightly too expensive to replace. Unless you take a chance and promote someone from down the bottom end. But anyone down the bottom end, well, they're at the bottom because they can only handle one task. And it doesn't matter what your line of work is. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. The less you're getting paid, the lower you are on the job chart, the odds are it means you're only doing one task. So I'm able to multitask. Of course, what I'm not able to do is get my TV to work, my smart TV. Not so smart that it will set itself up for me. Not so smart. It may have been laughing at me for paying over the odds, but it's not sharp enough to know this guy's an idiot. Let me make all the particular connections for myself. And then this moron can just turn on the remote control and whatever game he wants to see, it will be there. The TV is not that smart. So obviously, I then needed to call on my neighborhood IT guy to come by and help me rig up my TV. Now, my IT guy is probably no different than your IT guy. wherever you work. Nice guy. But at the end of the day, there is this sense that they are kind of looking down their nose at you because you don't know how to do all this stuff that, frankly, if you are of a certain age, you probably need to know. I've been living with technology most of my life. Phone, computer, other than just pulling out the power or pulling out the battery, when things go doolally, I have no idea what to do. I do it all the time at home. When I can't get a channel on TV, I go straight to the cable box and just pull out the power. Pull out the power, start over. That tends to be how all this technology is set up, unless, of course, you work at, like, I don't know, nuclear power plant or something. That's probably not a good idea. So anyway, he comes by, and I can tell he's kind of looking at me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I want to get it to work. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you got a smart TV here. Let me give you some leads. And I can see on the box it says YouTube. And I'm like, dude, I can get YouTube on my TV. He's like, oh, yeah, you can do all of that. And that was it. You can do all of that. He wasn't going to give me any more. I think he either presumed that by even saying, hey, I can get YouTube on my TV, that I was of some level the intellectual, not equal of the TV, but somewhere close to the TV. I'm not going to lie to you. He's the sort of IT guy. I've gone by like his office, and when you go into IT guy's office, they're small and there just seems to be like hardware everywhere, and then the very best screens and, you know, six keyboards, all for one guy. He's sitting there with hands on keyboards like some sort of, I don't know, workplace Elton John, just tapping away and stuff happening. Although, I'm not going to lie, every time I go into his office, he seems to be watching something on TV. I remember wandering in, and one time I caught him watching the British Love Island. I don't know if you ever know that show. That's that show where it's kind of like a dating reality show. All very young, good-looking people. And the one from England seems to have a whole load of people with and regional accents, let me say, and tattoos. All of them, the guys and the girls. Anyway, I go in there and I'm looking at him and he's like, hey, do you ever watch Love Island? And I'm like, nah, not really. Although, as an aside, and I did share this story with him, when my stepdaughters are home from college, they will sit around and they will binge watch the British Love Island. I'll come wandering into the room like trying to watch something. Too late. The TV's been hijacked by endless episodes of tattooed, blonde, good-looking, muscular young men and women. And you can rearrange those words to create whatever mental image you'd like. Sitting around playing this dating show. And my stepdaughters would look at me and say things like, what's a slapper? And I'm like, yeah, you don't want to know that. If I get really irritated because I can't get to the TV myself, I'll just look at them and go, you know something, if I was on this show, I would dominate. And then I just walk away and it really ekes them out. They continue to watch Love Island. Anyway, I go in to see my IT guy and he's watching Love Island. And I'm like, hey, can you come back over to my office and, you know, just get everything figured out? So he comes over and he plugs it in and he gives me the YouTube link for something called YouTube TV, which I didn't know existed. I thought YouTube was just like TV on the internet. But you can actually watch like full shows and stuff. He gave me the password and he was like, yeah, this should do you. And I always get to the moment with my IT guy. You know, I'm happy to ask a question. There may be a follow-up question. There may be a question after that. But then at some moment, I want to stop. Because every time I ask a question, all I'm doing is relaying what I don't know. And IT guys and girls always look at you. They're patient for a while. And even though they keep saying to you, no, don't worry, it's simple, you know that their brain is saying something else. Like, no, this is simple. I don't know why you can't do it. Of course, what IT dudes tend to forget is that if we could do these things, they wouldn't be needed. And then what would they do? They are ultimately one-task workers, somewhere below me, middle management, on the food chain.
You know, know, I know you have a betting system for other things.
Yes.
I think I have a betting system for if Zeff ever says he's going to do something in a certain amount of time, take the over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we're going over or under today. And that's not important. It's fig time. Fig time. And what is important is we told you to take Argentina over Croatia at minus 120, and we were correct. Your record now, if you've gone with the house, 13-13, and we have a profit of 2.35 figs. So we're doing okay. Almost, we're almost getting to the point. I say almost because I'm going to run my mouth now and get myself in trouble. We're almost at the point where whatever happens, you're going to be ahead of the game. And I say that now, and we all know full well, we all know full well that we're going to get burnt. Oh, dear. So I know it's kind of late, and I've normally given you picks in advance, but because we're getting deep in, I'm actually feeling quite ambitious. I took France winning with at least 1.5 goals in the game. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw you a bonus. I'm actually feeling even more confident about that now. I went out and I placed a fig on France to win 2-0 at plus 115. Now, you want to do that? That's up to you. You don't want to do that? That's up to you too. But I'm just telling you, I'm now feeling super confident in France's ability, not just to win the game, not just to score a couple of goals, but to keep a clean sheet. We're also covered that if they win 1-0, well, then we're okay. Of course, if Morocco win, then it all goes up to Swanee. Let's get out of the show. You are listening to the Casio Kids, a Norwegian synth pop band. And this is their track, Fort I Hose, which I'm presuming is Norwegian for something. I don't know what. Haven't bothered to look it up. Anyway, this track is notable because it was used in a British sitcom from about 10 years ago called Friday Night Dinner. It wasn't the title track, but it would get used in between scenes. If you've never seen that show, I cannot recommend it to you enough. You might. You used to be able to find it on Amazon Prime. It's probably somewhere else now. But take a look and see if you can find it. Friday Night Dinner. It's about a family, a Jewish family in North London that have a family dinner every Friday. And stuff happens. You'll probably recognize by face most of the people in it. If you saw the HBO series Chernobyl, the dad is played by one of the nuclear power plant technicians, a guy called Paul Ritter, who has now passed. A hilarious series. They only did 6 seasons. Each season was only 6 episodes, so it's funny, it's condensed. Check out the first season, watch episode 2, Sofa Bed, which involves a sofa bed and a dead father, not the father who's in it. And if that sounds odd to you, trust me, you'll laugh yourself senseless. Friday Night Dinner. In the words of our absentee executive producer, take care.